We're beginning the seventh speech of the Dlashot Aran, special class. Galsinan Mechagiga, the Talmud tells us in Tractate Chagiga Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Braisa, validated by the Academy of Rav Chiya and Rav Hoshaya, that says, Maaseb Rabbi Yochanan Membrok of Rabbi Elezer Chisma, Shalchu Lakbil Pnei Rabbi Yoshua Bepkihin. Rabbi Yochanan Membrok and Rabbi Elezer Chisma were traveling to greet Rabbi Yoshua in the city of Pkiin. Amar lahim, when Rabbi Yoshua met them, he said to them, "Machidush hayom bebet haMidrash. What new thing has been taught today in the academy?" Amru lo, they said to him, "Rabbi, talmidechanu umeimechanu shotim. Rabbi, we're your students, and we drink your waters." Meaning, you're the teacher. You tell us. Amar lahim afal bichen yifshal lebet midrash bilo chidush. He said, nonetheless, it cannot be that there is nothing new that's being taught in the academy. Shabbat shel mi hayita. He asked them, whose turn was it? Who was giving the speech of that Shabbos? Because this was during a period in Jewish history when there were two leaders, two Nisi'im, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Gamliel used to head the academy for 2 weeks, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah used to head it for 1 week. That was the compromise the rabbis decided on, to ensure that it's clear Rabbi Gamliel is the Rosh Yeshiva. So he asked them, who headed the academy this week? Shel Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ita, against the odds, 2 out of 3 was Rabbi Gamliel. That week was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Umad Rashba, and what did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah teach? He taught the following. So now the students are telling their rabbi what was taught in the academy. He's taught, it says in the Pasuk, Hakelet am nahanashim anashim ataf. The final mitzvah of the Torah is gather the people. There's a special mitzvah that the king gathers all of Israel, and he speaks before them on Sukkos, and he reads before them the Torah. Anashim bayim lilmod, the men are coming to learn. Nashim baot lishmoa, the women are coming to listen. Taf lama, what are the kids coming for? Kidei liten zachalim v'yehen, so that those who bring them, they'll get more wages in the world to come, because it's not so easy to put up with kids traveling all the way. Amar lehem, so Rabbi Yoshua said to them, Margalit tova b'yedchem u'bikashtem na'abda mimeni. You had this gem and you wanted to keep it from me, you wanted me to lose that. So that's the Braisa in Chagiga. Hamane hazeh she'anu, firstly he addresses, what did they begin? They said to him, Talmidechanu mimechanu shotim. We're your students. We're, all we know is what you teach us. Meaning it sounds like they have nothing new to teach. Huderech netilat reshut kishemau ledeber bifnei gadol mehem bechokhma. That was a way of taking permission when they're speaking before someone who's really wiser than they are. So that's why they begin with this introduction. Of course, we want to hear what you have to say. It would be like today we say birshus, and the permission of my teachers, and I'm about to tell you something, right? So that was what they were saying. Aval teima b'meshik shuba gemara b'samuch v'leim ulei behedia. But why does the Gemara have difficulty with this introduction? The Gemara says, why didn't they tell him right away what the new thing they learned was? V'hutzichu l'taretz, and then the Gemara answers, mishum aseh shaya, because there once happened that Rabbi Elazar asked Rabbi Yossi what's new in the Beis Medrash, and Rabbi Yossi went off teaching him time and again and started giving him a whole long speech, and Rabbi Elazar got upset at him. So because that happened, so they realized it's not derech eretz, even if your Rebbe asks you, what'd you learn new today, it's not derech eretz to come out and say, oh, I'll tell you, and then give him a whole long speech. So they first asked for permission. That's the Gemara over there. Umatim yesh bazeim lo rotzul daber b'chokhma b'fanav rak achar netilat reshuto. So the Ran is asking on the Gemara, what was the Gemara bothered with? Doesn't it make sense? Isn't that respectful that before they start speaking in front of him, he is their teacher, they'll ask his permission. They'll begin by saying, well, we're not going to teach you anything. Matirutz bekan, so the answer here, shesavu ba'alei gemara, shachar shab Yoshua sha'alam al kach, lo yitztachu al ha'maneh lentilat reshuto. The Gemara assumed if Rabbi Yeshua is asking them a question, so they don't need any more permission. Shekvar ikdim olehem. He already began by giving them permission. He said, he asked them. Mitzurap leze shalu ashnayim לא, שאלו השניים לא אמרו סברה או דרשה מחודשת שחידשו הם בזה, אבל אמרו מה ששמעו מרב אלעזר בן עזריה שהגדול כמותו בחוכמה בראש ישיבה. And also the Gemara felt that although they were his students and they weren't as smart as him, but being that they weren't saying their own thoughts, they weren't saying, hey, we figured this out, where they'd really be talking before someone who was bigger than them, let them hear what he has to say. But here they were quoting Rav Elazar ben Azariah, who was as big as Rabbi Yoshua, and he was also the Rosh Yeshiva. And so the Gemara is bothered, if they're quoting someone as big as Rabbi Yoshua, they could quote. What were they concerned with, that they had to be in with this introduction? Rebbe, you're our teacher, you tell us. So then, nonetheless, the Gemara says, so why did they have this introduction, where they initially refused to tell Rabbi Yoshua that what they'd learned, Mishum Ma'aseh Shehayah, because of what had happened, Shedir Chachmim Nakpit B'Kayotzeh B'Zeh, Achrei Sham Deber B'Fneim Katan Mehim. Because there can be instances, and it's happened, the Gemara says, where a teacher asks the student, what'd you learn new today? And the student went on and on and on. The teacher at some point says, hey, this isn't what I was talking about. And so they realized that even though technically they were quoting a rabbi as big as their teacher, so it should have interested him, but they figured, based on past experience, we're going to make sure that he's really interested. He didn't just politely ask us what was new in the Beis Medrash.
He was doing this, he really wanted them to...
Yeah, he did.
Them?
No.
So are you paying attention?
No. I mean, they were big. These are big rabbis. Lezer Chisma. He was bigger than them, but they weren't little children. So when he asked them what's new in the Beis Medrash, they knew from vast experience, not with him, but with other rabbis, that didn't mean he wanted them to go on now and tell them a whole long spiel. So he asked them what's new in the Beis Medrash. They said, why don't you teach us something? You're the rabbi. And he said, no, you guys are coming from Beis Medrash. Tell me what's new in the Beis Medrash. And then they went on and taught him a whole new thing. And then he said, wow, okay, I'm happy I asked. So that even though they were quoting someone as big as him, nonetheless, past experience had taught them, shekach ekpid Rabbi Elazar b'Lud l'Rabbi Yossi ben Dur Maskit. That's the story that in Lud, when Rabbi Yossi ben Dur Maskit was the student, he met the rabbi, Rabbi Elazar. So the Rabbi Elazar held it against him, that he held it really against him that he was, the story over there goes that he quoted something and it wasn't, he said, oh, the rabbi taught today this and this and this. And then he looked at him and said, the rabbi taught that? What are you talking about? Dan Chiknes Agdol instituted that a few hundred years ago. That's, yeah. So the student got over his head for quoting things incorrectly. So they said, before we quote something, we better make sure he really wants us to quote what was said today. So this was all introductory. So now he's coming back to explain the braisa. Tanu Rabbanan. Piyot chachamim kostim ledivrei Torah. Being that the sages are thirsting, they're yearning for the words of Torah. Hayu shualim be'et yotam chutz lebet ha-midrash manitradesham. They would always ask, hey, what new thing was said in the Beis Medrash? Because they were always yearning to know more Torah. Because the way their academies worked, there was always something new bustling in the Beis Medrash. There was always something new going on. So they always wanted to be in the know. Today people, Twitter, iPod, you're always following the news. So that was their news. They wanted to be in the know what's developing in Torah. And over there, we learn that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gave three new speeches that day. The first one we quoted in the introduction. And the second one, Ve'odarash, and furthermore, he taught, the verse says, you glorified God, God glorified you. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah explained that God, so to speak, said to Israel, Atem asituni chativa achat ba'olam. You singled me out in the world, and I too will single you out in the world. אתם עשיתו נחתיבה אחת בעולם לכתיב שמה ישראל השם נקוינו השם אחד. We make that declaration, God is singular. אף אני אעשה אתכם חתיבה אחת בעולם דכתיב, ומחמך ישראל גו אחד בארץ. God made a corresponding declaration that we are a single nation on earth. ואני תמה על אומרו, אתם עשיתוני חתיבה אחת בעולם. And he says, I wonder about this, that we made this declaration, we made God singular in the world. כי שמה ישראל איננו מאמר ישראל שכנסו בו השם יתברך, ולא כנסו בו, אבל מצווה שנצטווינו בה מאותו יתברך להאמין בייחודו. Shema Yisrael isn't really a declaration. It's not a word of praise. It's not that we come out there and praise Hashem. It's a declaration that God commanded us to say. He said, you have a mitzvah, as the Rambam says, as it says in Halacha. We have a mitzvah. Shema Yisrael, take note. You have to recognize and understand that God is singular. It's a mitzvah. So now God says, good for you. You declare Shema Yisrael Hashem Keinu. You gave us a mitzvah. What?
Why is it not? He is the mitzvah.
Okay. Let's see. The imale yotenu shomrim zaikar. Okay, so you see, that was going to be your answer, right? So he says, and if you'll tell me that the praise is, oh, I gave him a mitzvah, and they're fulfilling this mitzvah. Yomar she'asinu lo chativa achat bekach, kach hoi she'yemar, ba'anuchi Hashem elokecha, she'i mitzvah la'amin b'mtziuto v'anu ma'aminim oto. Then it should have spoken about the first of the Ten Commandments. If that's the whole point, you fulfill what I told you to recognize my singularity, okay, that's fine, that's the Ten Commandments. That is the mitzvah to believe, to know that Hashem is in the world. You have a totally different commandment. So that is the Anochi Hashem Lokecha, v'nimtza al haderech hazeh kama chativot. So then if that's the point, okay, we have a few mitzvos. We have the declaration, we have the recognition. There are a few areas where we single Hashem out. So, the Ran explains, אבל לפי דעתי, מה שאמרו כאן יורמוז, but what I think, says the Ran, is that what the Talmud says here, you've made me this single act, you've singled me out. Yirmoz lema she'amru b'makom she'nagu. It's really alluding to what the Talmud says in Psachim in the chapter Makom She'nagu. Darash Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi taught, K'tiv v'yikra Yaakov el banav v'yomer. It says, Yaakov called his children and said, Yaspu v'agid lachem et she'yikra etchem v'achit ha'imim. Gather and I will tell you what will happen in the end of time. V'chtiv. And then he says, Ruven b'choriyata. Starts going off on a tangent. Reuven, you're my first son. This is what you did in your life. This is what you'll get paid for what you did in your life. What's going on here? He says, I want to tell you about what's going to be in the end of time. Then he starts talking history and the future of each tribe. Bikesh legalot haketz. So Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi says, Yaakov really wanted to reveal when the end of time would be. Venistalka mimenu shechina. And then God's presence left him. So he's standing there and suddenly he lost it. He can't. Amar Shem Chas V'Shalom Yesh B'Mitati P'sul. So then Yaakov said, hey, wait a second. Maybe my bed isn't as complete as I'd like. Kavram She'Yatzam Menu Yishmael. Look, Avram thought his two children were great, and Sarah had to come along and tell him, no, Yishmael is not fit. Get him out of the house. Uchi Yitzhak She'Yatzam Menu Esav. Yitzhak thought his two children were great. He was ready to bless Esav, and Rivka comes along and says, no, Esav isn't up to par. So maybe I think they're all great, but something is going on here. Amru lo, so they all made a declaration. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Listen, Dad, listen, Israel. Keshem shen belibcha le'echad, kachen belibenu le'echad. Just as in your heart, it is clear that God is singular, so too in our hearts. Ulfi ze adrash, and according to this medrash, hapasuk hazeh aval pishu mitzvat asei, although this verse is a biblical mitzvah to come to the understanding that God is one, nonetheless, the verse also has a history. Kvar amru ha-shvatim ikilsu bo la-Hashem itbarach. The history is that the tribes praised Hashem. They said, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is one. The pasuk is not only the mitzvah, the pasuk is also a history. And we can add to this, the Medrash says, that whenever we say Shema Yisrael, we're talking to our grandfather Yisrael. We're making a declaration. Listen, Grandpa, we're living up to the monotheism. We're still keeping tradition. Shema Yisrael, says the Midrash Rabbah, is a declaration to Yaakov Avinu. Just like the tribe said it to Yaakov Avinu, we're still making the declaration to the final patriarch. But okay, he's not saying that yet. Although this verse really has a history, although this declaration was originally said by the tribes, the Torah wrote it in that place in the end of the Torah, in Ba'ez Chanan, so that it remains a permanent mitzvah for generations. So then according to this, it's not talking about the Pasuk in Ba'ez Chanan, it's talking about the declaration of the tribes. You as a people of Israel have declared, you've made me singular in the world. It's talking about that declaration. It's not talking about the mitzvah, because if it's the mitzvah, there are other mitzvahs that we perform that also are reflective or are declarations of God's singularity. There's Anochi Hashem Lokecha, there's Lo Yilecha, there are quite a few. V'adrasha Shlishi. Now, the truth is that we're learning this bikius. We're learning this off the cuff a little bit. Because if we were really learning this in depth, we'd have to stop here, open up the Rambam. The Rambam in Introduction to the 10th Perek of Sanhedrin. Look at the Yud Gimel Ikrin there. Open up the Rambam in Halacha. In the Rambam in the beginning of Yesod HaTorah. And then start analyzing halachically what concepts and what mitzvah or parts of the mitzvah stem from the Pasuk Shema Yisrael, and what mitzvah really stems from Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Which part is a fulfillment of the Ten Commandments? Are they one mitzvah? Are they two mitzvahs? Where do they share a common theme? Where are they separate? What's the difference between the two? Is there a difference? And Shema Yisrael is really connected to a few other mitzvot. So there's a lot of room to look in depth here. Meaning we're looking at it at a glance. One day we should merit to look at it in more depth. There's much more to be discussed here. The whole concept of dying on Kiddush Hashem. There's a lot to be discussed, and in truth, there's a lot to be analyzed, which is important halachically, to understand what stems from which pasuk here. Meaning, at first glance, it seems to be repetitive. There's the first of the Ten Commandments, the first two, Anochi Hashem, Lo Yelecha, and then there's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Is there an overlap, and what is it? So that needs work. We're not going into that today. V'adrash HaShlishi. And the third thing that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah taught that day, meaning there were three speeches in the Beis Medrash that day. The first one was about Hakel. Why do we bring children? To give schar to their parents. The second speech was, he spoke about how, et Hashem emalta v'Hashem emircha. You gave God glory, you honored God, God honored you. You pointed out God's singularity in the world, and God points out your singularity in the world. V'adrash HaShlishi, and the third speech that that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gave that day Hu Shamar Sham, that's what it says over there, Ve'od Patach V'darash, and further Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah opened and gave the following speech. It says in the verse in Ecclesiastes, in Koheles, Divrei Chachamim Kador Vanot Uchmasmot Netuim Balei Asufot Nitenu Meroei Echad. The words of the sages are like Dalbonot. They're like the goad, that instrument that pushes the animal in line. I think it's called a goad. It's a stick that has like a needle coming out at the end. And if the cow tries to go off its path, so it bumps into that like nail or needle and goes back on its path. That's a darbin. So the words of the sages are like dorbanot, uchemasmerot nituim, and like nails that are firmly implanted. Balei asufot nitenu meroei echad. Let's, in a minute, we'll explain. Ma dorban ze mechaven tapara litlamea, lavi chayim laolam. Just as the dorban, it guides the cow in the field, And that brings life to the world. Because if the cow doesn't stay on path and plow, you won't have grain, you won't have food. So the Durban, although it seems like it's something that's painful, that the cow doesn't like bumping into it, but on the other hand, that's a source of life in the world. You got to keep the cow in line somehow, otherwise there won't be life in the world. So too the words of Torah guide the hearts of those who learn Torah from the way of death to the way of life. It's not so pleasant always to go in the way of Torah. Yeah, but it's like the cow, you got it, that's life. Ratzu b'zeh, what our sages wanted to teach us with this, shekmo sha'dorban mechaven tapra lasot charisha biyosher v'shelot lechane v'ane, just as the dorban keeps the cow on the path, on a straight path, so it doesn't go to and fro, u'min ha'yosher ho'u b'chaim la'olam, and from that straight path, you have life in the world, hem ha'tuva v'aperot, that's the grain and the fruit, avdibrei Torah mechavnim lev ha'adam, by the same token, the words of Torah guide a person's heart, u'mefakchim oto, and they wisen him up. Ve'lo pikchut she'yageh mimenu nezek odat nifsad, and it's not wisdom that can be harmful. Some wisdom can be harmful to a person. A person can sit and analyze, and I had the opportunity to meet a philosopher last week, and he was very focused on suicide. And he was discussing with me the different philosophers that came to the conclusion that suicide is the way to go and committed suicide. So it's a very morbid conversation. But I think that that's a very good example of what he's saying. Some intelligence can cause harm. If that was their conclusion, it's a bit of a problem. Maybe they should have stayed alive a little longer. For sure they should have stayed alive a little longer. Or a lot longer, and they would have come to a different conclusion. But at the end of the day, intelligence can also be harmful. It's not always beneficial. El Asagat, I don't know what he's going to do with his life. I was worried at the end of that conversation. Okay, he has terminal cancer. It's a little bit difficult. It's also a difficult conversation. You understand why that's where his focus is right now. The Ran says that just as the Torah guides a person's heart and wisens him up, and this is wisdom that will not cause him harm, odat nifsad, nor will it give him incorrect attitudes or approaches. Ela sagat da'at amitit, yagia ha'adam bo lemashu tachlito, but rather a person can attain true knowledge. And a person can attain an understanding of what is his purpose in life. Sheyesh chokhmot mefakhot lev ha'adam. You have wisdoms that wisen up a person. Aval yatuhu midachei chayim nedachei mita. But they could veer him in the way of death. Ve'yagiu me'en deot nifsadot sheve'en yeh nitrad. And you could have forms of intellect that can cause a person to veer off the correct path, the wise path. How many people joined cults thinking originally this was the way to go? This is the smart way to go. And then in hindsight, they suddenly realized, no, it seemed right, but that wasn't right. Avla Torah lo tashir lelomdea dat nifsad o mida meguna. The Torah does not leave an incorrect attitude, an incorrect thought, or an incorrect trait within one who learns the Torah. It's a tremendous aspect of the Torah. It's not just a philosophical work. Plato, Aristotle, Stephen Hawking, very often they'd divide their lives. They'd say, when I'm in the academy, I'm being godly. When I'm in the restaurant, I'm an animal. And so Hawking did this too, and he says he's going in the footsteps of the great philosophers. When he sits down for a meal, he eats like an animal. And he treats the waiter like an animal. And his students asked him, what's going on? He said, what do you want? The classroom is where I'm godly. The restaurant is where I'm an animal, so let me be an animal.
Aristotle said that.
Right. So I read an article, this goes back many years ago. This goes back almost to when you were born. there was an article about Stephen Hawking. How old are you? Yeah, so about when you were born, there was an article about Stephen Hawking where he said the same thing. said, his students, this is what they quoted there. I mean, they quoted that a student sat with him, Stephen, I can't even say it in class, but when he made a bet about whether there are black holes or not, so the reward of the bet was not something very clean. I can't say it, but in the article they showed that he went in the footsteps of Aristotle. He said the same thing. Torah is the exact antithesis of that. Torah says, no, this is life. And because the Torah is truth, the Torah doesn't leave any area of the human being that is not perfected. It's not only about his philosophies and his understandings of life, it is also about what type of person he is. V'zeu sh'amar Shlomo alav ha-shalom. That's what King Solomon said, peace be upon him, ki tavo chokhma b'libecha v'dat l'nafshecha yinam. For when wisdom enters your heart and your soul finds intelligence to be pleasant, mizimat yishmor alecha, the plans of the Torah will protect you. Tivuna tinzireka, the understanding of the Torah will watch over you. Latzilcha miderecha, it will save you from a bad path. Meish medaber tapuchot, from a person who talks with cunning and deceit. Amar, what Shlomo HaMelech said, Sheim yikneh chokhmah v'tavo elibo v'tinam l'nafsho kekli yakar. If a person acquires wisdom and it comes into his heart and it is pleasant to his soul like a precious vessel, yageh alav mizeh toelet atzum, then the Torah, the knowledge of Torah, will give him a tremendous benefit. Sheam zimat yishmor alav, because the plots, the planning of the Torah protects him. Atvunat intzireu, the understanding watches over him, and it'll save him from bad path. And someone who speaks with deceit will not be able to entrap him. And our sages explained that this section of Mishlei is talking about this specifically, about incorrect philosophies. How do we know that? Mima sheneemar b'sofa. What does it say at the conclusion of that section? Kol ba'a lo yishuvun ve'lo yasigu orchot chayim. There is the parsha continues over there in Mishlei and describes the wisdom will also protect you from a woman of ill repute. As seductive as she is, you'll know to stay away, because whoever goes down her path never makes it back to life. So Chazal say, v'darshu b'masechta avodah zarah, tekol deparish miminut mait, that if someone wants to break away from the philosophies of minut, which can mean Christianity, or it could mean the other philosophies that were drawing Jews away from Judaism in that day, well, to try and get back, people die. The Gemara discusses that the way back isn't easy. To stay alive, to stay normal, to stay sane, there's a level where it's not possible. A person can do tshuva, but life isn't going to be the same. The Talmud over there discusses that, brings the story. Ben Duldai, you know the story? Elazar ben Durdai, the Gemara over there says, there wasn't a brothel he didn't visit. And then at one point when he wanted to do tshuva, he died doing tshuva. So yeah, tshuva is theoretically possible, but it's not so simple. The Talmud in Kedushin alludes to this concept as well. Amru sham, the sages over there say, it says about the Torah v'samtam, you will place the Torah upon your heart. Chazal say, break up the word v'samtam into two words. Samtam, it is a whole cure. It is a whole medicine. Yeah, Chazal dashne, yeah. Nimshela Torah l'sam chayim, the Torah is compared to an elixir of life. Mashal adam shikat no makah gdola, like it's compared to a person who beat up his son, meniach lo retia, and then he puts on a bandage to heal it. So Hashem gave us a yetzer hara. Hashem created us with the inclinations to do what's wrong, and Hashem gave us the cure. Hashem gave us the Torah. Now, look at we don't have time to go into this. But here's a beautiful example of how Chazal, in speaking about Agada, really were giving us so much insight into understanding philosophically, how does Hashem run the world? You begin and you say to yourself, a guy beats up his son, what an abusive parent. So he bandages him up afterwards, but come on. To the point where he needs bandages and medicine? So then you say, okay, and how does that mashal play itself out? So Hashem gave us a Yetzer Hara. So you say, wait a second, so he gave me the Torah, but what'd you give me the Yetzer Hara for? Isn't that being an abusive parent? And when you understand the answer to that question, you understand that you have a tremendous answer. Meaning the Gemara purposely compared it to a father that beats up his son. You understand the Gemara was addressing a tremendous philosophical difficulty. What'd you give me the hardship? I understand he gave me the cure, but what'd you give me the hardship for? But you see how the Gemara did it in passing. The Gemara wasn't focused on that.
I don't understand how it's a good... we would all say if Father beats up his son, he said in the beginning, he said, that would be a bad thing.
Right, right. Oh, right. So that's exactly the question. But ask yourself, why give us the Yetzer Hara? Isn't that one of the greatest questions of philosophy? So you gave me the Torah to overcome it. You gave me the capacity to overcome hardships. But why give me the hardships to begin with? But that's not our point here. I'm saying it's just an example of when Chazal give us allegories, and when Chazal spell things out, very often they're addressing more than one question at a time. And you have to keep your eyes open to see, when you learn the Rambam, you see how the Rambam breaks down word by word Chazal's Mishalim. And each word, he says, okay, this teaches you this concept, and that teaches you that concept. And that's how you learn Chazal. But that's not our point here, so let's move forward. Kvar bi'er שלא יפחד ביותו עוסק בתורה פנתקפהו היצר. כי עסק התורה יצילהו מכל זה. So the Talmud over there in Kiddushin explains that dealing in Torah saves a person from the improper desires that might plague him. וזהו שאמר כאן, מכוונים לב לומדיהם מדרכי מיטה לדרכי חיים. That the Torah is like the Dorban, it's like the goad, it guides a person's heart from the ways of death to the ways of life. The Torah keeps a person on the path of life. And the Talmud further expands there, and it says, "Balei Asufot." The sages are called "Balei Asufot." Elu Talmidei Chachamim sheyoshevin Asufot Asufot v'oskin b'Torah. That's a reference to the sages who sit in groups and deal in Torah. Halalu mitamin v'halalu mitarin. These say it's defiled. These say it's pure. And this is where we'll pick up in a minute.